he's up to no good. We make judgment calls. The only time we don't do it is TSA for some reason, you know. Like, that's the time to make, you know, profile somebody by their appearance. But no, we don't do that then, you know. I've seen them. An older gentleman, we're talking well in his years, in a wheelchair, and they're having him take his shoes off. Make sure that, you know, he ain't got any. I'm going thinking, that guy's not going to be a terrorist, people. I don't think you got to worry about him. But we do that. We judge people by their looks and their appearance. We're told not to by the world. You know, oh, you're not supposed to judge people. But they do it too. They look at us and, you know, oh, you're just a Christian fanatic. You don't even know me. They make one little judgment. But how do people identify us? Think about it. At your workplace, out and about. I was thinking about it today as I'm out, just, you know, just wearing some work clothes, and I thought, what do people think when they see me? I got thinking about, I want to put a smile on my face because, you know, I got something to be happy about. I'm saved, so no reason being a grump. And I catch myself sometimes, you just get that resting face. You're not upset, but it just, your face just naturally rests sometimes, like natural grump face, you know. So I was kind of like, oh, I'm going to purposely make sure I kind of have a smile on my face. You know, I got reason to be happy. And so go to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus 34, we're going to start in verse 28, says. I'll give you a minute here. I still hear some pages turning. So much better than hearing, you know, beep boop or something. Of course, the phones these days, it's all electric buttons, so you couldn't hear anything anyways, so you have no idea. Verse 28 says, and he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. This is Moses. Moses with the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward, all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went back in to speak with him. Let's bow for a word of prayer this evening. Lord, we thank you that we can come here in your house. And God, I just ask you would give me the power I need to preach this evening. Give me the right words to say to bring forth this message. May you use it to bring honor and glory to you and be a help to the Christians here tonight. We thank you, Lord, for meeting with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Here Moses was 40 days and 40 nights with God. Spending time with God, being a part of him. And that, think about that, glory of God just soaked into Moses' skin. So much so that his face physically shone bright. I don't know anybody that's ever, I mean, you know, you've seen somebody and you're like, wow, they're glowing. But, you know, there really isn't an actual light coming out of them. They just, whatever reason, the light's hitting them just right and they just seem to be glowing a little bit. But Moses here literally glowed. And it scared the children of Israel because they've never seen somebody's face light up like that. That's because he had been with God. And, you know, he comes down and he gives them the commandments, tell them, hey, look, this is what God gave me. I've got it written down on tables of stone. He ends up putting a veil over his face because the children of Israel are afraid of it. I did some reading and just took a look to see what somebody else thought. And their comment was they think Moses put the veil on his face because eventually that glow would fade. And he didn't want the children of Israel to see it fading away right in front of their eyes. I don't know if that was the case or not, but we know he put a veil on his face. We know when he went back in to God, to see God again, I think he got recharged. He goes in and he takes the veil off because he goes into the tabernacle to see God again, spend some time with him. There was something different about Moses. I mean, Moses already was something different about that man. He's one of the greatest leaders Israel's ever seen. Great, great leader. I mean, to this day, they lift him up high. But especially this day, when he came down from the mountain, they went, whoa, something's different about him. I mean, think about it. If his face is glowing, man, they could see him from a distance coming down. Going, who is that? What is that light? Moses must have God must have given him a torch or something, you know? And he shows up and there's no torch. The only light source he's got is his face. The time Moses spent with God, it had an effect on him. It changed him. 40 days and 40 nights, that's a good period of time. Just spending it with God. You'd hope spending that much time with God would change a man. Here in this case, it literally, physically changed him. And I think Moses just kept, I've always wondered, how long did this last? I even wrote a note in my Bible, how long did this last? I don't know. We don't know, it doesn't say. But I do know when he went in to talk with God, he took that thing off, took the veil off. Maybe he got recharged and his face shone some more. I don't know. I don't know how often he went in. Maybe it was to his death. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe it only lasted for a short period, but his face shone. Well, you know, as a Christian, when we first get saved, a radical change takes place in our life. And I've even heard it said about some people, you could see it in their face. Just, they look like a totally different person. Often people see major differences in us right away. I've heard of folks, they hung out with lost crowd and their lost friends go, what happened to you, man? Something different about you. Well, they should, right? Because something does literally change in us. Go to John chapter 3 and Colossians chapter 2. We'll look at a few things. There's so much that happens when you get saved. We're going to look at a few of these things here. John chapter 3 and Colossians chapter 2. John chapter 3 and verse 15 says, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And then chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, it says, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took us out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Well, first thing you got eternal life. You never had that before. You were dead. I've heard it put this way. Brother Gip made a comment. I thought it was interesting. He always cracks me up sometimes. He'll take modern thing and he can just apply it that, you know, way I never really thought of. And just he's different like that. But he said, you know, he goes, us Christians, we're kind of like zombies. What are zombies? They're dead on the outside, but they're alive on the inside. Right? And they're going around, they're just He says, well, so are Christians. This flesh, he goes, before you're saved, the outside's alive and the inside is dead. But when you get saved, you realize, no, now that I'm saved, the inside's alive, and really, the outside is dying. it makes me wonder, maybe that's why lost people are kind of like, what's wrong with you? You know, they look at you kind of funny because you're Christian. Something's different about that guy. But your soul is alive for the first time. You've gained eternal life, and yes, your body may die, but your soul will never die. It'll live forever and ever and ever. That's eternal life. quickened is to give or restore life to. That's what it means. Verse 13, quickened together with him. Well, he's alive. We're quickened. We're given life with him. See, I think of it like Pilgrim's Progress. How many ever read that book, Pilgrim's Progress? Very many. A long time ago, yeah. You can get the shortened down version too, and then there's the Children's Pilgrim's Progress book that just, you know, puts it a little bit simpler, and, you know, it's a tough read a little bit, I think, the full version. But the premise of the story is the man named Christian, who before he got saved, he had a load of sin on his back. And the picture is he's just got this big sack, and it's just weighing him down, and it's heavy, and it's tied to his back, and he's got it right until he gets to the cross. And at the cross, he gets down, and he asks for salvation, and the load of sin all of a sudden falls off of his body, rolls down a hill into a grave, and it disappears. Well, verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. You know, God says, look, there was stuff that was against you, your sin, you had these ordinances, it was all against you, and I took it, you got saved, I took it, and I nailed it to the cross. Think about it. If you had some stuff against you, and if you were going to go to court and stand before the judge, and you had some things you knew, man, they were against you, and you're going, I'm not going to win this case. Man, you're going to be down, you're going to be depressed. That's a heavy weight, heavy burden. But then you find out they're gotten rid of. I don't have to worry about that now? Nope, it's all gone. Well, that's what happened to us. The great judge that we will stand before someday, he says, what sins are you talking about? Jesus took them for us. So man, that weight of sin, when you're saved, lifted. Man, you're going to feel a little lighter. It's going to be something different about you. I know when I got saved, man, that weight of sin, I felt it gone. Like, man, it just, all of a sudden I feel lighter. I feel good. Well, yeah, you had a weight of sin you were carrying around this whole time because it was yours. You had to bear it. And now all of a sudden, it's gone. Make you feel different. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 19. What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Up until this point, well, not this point, but the New Testament time period, God was dwelling in tabernacles. And then he was dwelling in the temple. And when they sanctified the tabernacle, literally the presence of God came and indwelled inside the tabernacle. Well, God says, I'm no longer going to dwell in those buildings made by man. And he goes, I'm going to indwell in you. So when you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. Man, there should be something different about you then. You know, this is just a building. You know, we call it the house of God, and it's the church and whatnot, but this is just the place where we meet. Really, your body is the house of God. Because he comes and dwells in you and fellowships with you, and you've got the Holy Spirit now. This is a place where we get together and meet. And yeah, yes, you know what? When we are here, guess what? He's here too. He's here too. Should be something different about us. How do we keep that change, though? You ever go through life after being saved and you just feel like, man, I don't feel like the presence of God is with me as strong. I don't feel like that light in me is as bright as it should be. It seems to dim sometimes, right? At least feels like it. Well, what do we need to do? Well, 1 John 1. Sometimes it needs charged back up. I was reading in Old Testament, the priests, they had to provide wood for the altar to keep it burning. But you know who started that fire? God did. God started the fire, and the priests had to keep it kindled. They had to bring the wood to keep it kindled. I got thinking about it. I said, oh, because there was some priests who brought, the Bible says, brought strange fire. And I saw, what was strange fire? Was it different color? Was it, you know, I'm thinking that strange fire was just fire that wasn't from the altar. And God went, whoa, 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 that's not what I want. I provided the fire, you keep it going. Hey, God gives us a fire when we're saved, and we need to keep it stoked. He's not, God gave it to us, we need to keep it going in our life. Look at 1 John 1, verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. John's talking to Christians here. He's saying, hey, you're saved. But when you sin, you need to get it right with God. We need to keep that fellowship with God good. But when we sin, it makes that fellowship start to strain. You know what happens, I think, sometimes as Christians is we sin and 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 we don't get things right with God, and all of a sudden, how come it feels like God's not listening to me anymore? Well, God didn't move. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But you know what? When we sin, we start to do this. We get a little further away from God. You know what we got to do? We got to humble ourselves, go to Him. Lord, I did some wrong. Would you forgive me? And get that fellowship restored. I was thinking about it. It's kind of like, you know, you got a glass container over a light. You take spray paint and you go, there'll still be some light coming through, right? But you keep doing that, all of a sudden you're going to dim that light. And you take that spray paint of sin and just start letting it loose in your life, your light's not going to shine very brightly. People aren't going to know anything different from you to the lost person. You're not going to look like you're Christ-like. We need to make sure that we daily go to God and say, Lord, if you do know you've sinned against Him, get it right. Sometimes it'd be good to say, Lord, did I do anything today that I don't know of that I need to get right with you? It can happen. We need to keep that fellowship with Him restored and keep it strong. We have no light in and of ourselves, right? The Holy Spirit indwells within us. He's our light, all right? Our light source is Jesus, very much like the sun and the moon. I think God did that for us, and He knew it was. He put the sun and the moon and the earth and placed it all in just the right way. And we, you know, people didn't even know until, I think, New Testament, all of a sudden things starting to click. But even then, we didn't know until later that, oh, the moon has no source of light in and of itself. It gets its light from the sun. But you know what? When that world starts to get between the moon and the sun, what happens? It goes dark. You can't see it anymore. And we see it on a regular basis. That's why you don't, you know, crescent moon. Crescent moon's, you know, really pretty and beautiful. Oh, wow. But the world has gotten in between that part of the moon and its source of light. Well, we as Christians, we're that moon. And if we allow the world and sin to get in between us and our the sun, Jesus Christ, guess what? We're going to go dark. And now we're not going to shine. Man, this world is already dark to begin with, and it needs a light. And we need to allow the Savior to shine through us. And so we need to make sure that fellowship is good with Him. We need to make sure that we regularly go to him and confess our sin and get things right and make sure that, hey, all is good between me and my Savior, and I've got that fellowship with him, and that can keep that light in me going strong. Go to Matthew chapter 5. Jesus talked about this, about being a light. Verse 14, it says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." I'm sure you know the song, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Don't let Satan it out. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine." Hey, we are a light. Jesus said we are. We need to let it shine. We need to let other people see it, not just each other, but the world. They need to see there's something different about that person. Something different about that man. There's something different about that lady. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to ask them. You know, they start asking questions. It's amazing how you really can be a silent witness. I'm saying you're not sitting there preaching at the job. You're just living a good, clean Christian life. They'll start asking questions because they'll notice you don't cuss. Why don't you curse? And then, well, do you drink? You probably drink then. No, I don't drink. You don't drink. And I mean, then you get the looks like, what is wrong with you? Yeah. Oh, you do drugs, don't you? You do drugs. Nope, never touched drugs, you know, except for, you know, if I went into surgery, doctor gave me some, but no, I don't do drugs. You don't. Oh, you're a womanizer then. Yeah, you're going with every woman you can be with. No, not that either. What's wrong with you? Because they think you got to have an addiction. You got to have something. Oh, yeah. I'm addicted to Jesus Christ, trying to live a clean life for him. It's amazing how just living a good, clean life, godly life, can be a good testimony, be a good witness for them. What else will help our light shine? Just spend time with God. Just spend time with God. Look, be in church when the doors are open. This preaching, we need it. It's good for us. All right? Be here for it. Be here every time you can. If there's special meetings, I know we don't have a lot of special meetings, but every once in a while we do. If we're special meetings, hey, try to plan for it. You know, I know it's hard. I've worked a secular job, work construction, and you get done with a long day of work and rush home and eat something real quick, and then, all right, off to go, you know, hear the preaching or work at VBS or do this or whatever it may be that's happening at church. But be a part of it. Be a part of it. Try to be here. I understand some things come up, but be in the house of God. I know I'm kind of preaching to the choir here. You're the Wednesday night folk, all right? If you're here on Wednesday night, you're normally going to be here on Sunday morning, and you're normally going to be here Sunday night and Sunday school and all that. So I'm preaching to the choir. Keep it up. Amen. Keep it up. This is just an encouragement of, all right, you're doing a good job. Just keep doing it. You know what else this does is encourages each other. Yeah, we can get here. We can get something from God's word and get a blessing, but then, man, okay, there's other Christians still trying to do right. And we can talk to one another. What I've always found, man, when I was out working construction, you're in the lost world. Monday all day, Tuesday all day, Wednesday all day. I had enough of them at that point. You know what Wednesday night did for me? Refreshing. Talk to fellow Christians. I don't have to wonder, are you going to curse at me right now? Oh, it's refreshing. Hear the singing, you just, man, just get refreshed, get a little recharged, and okay, going back at it again. Thursday, Friday, maybe even Saturday. Yep. How else? Well, Have some personal time with God. Coming here is good, okay? I think of churches, you know, when I think of preaching, you know, we always say, you know, reading your Bible is, you know, that's the meat of the word and everything. You know, it's compared to food. So I always think of preaching as like the buffet, smorgasbord, you know, we're all coming together. It's all laid out. Someone else prepared it and got the meal together and given it to us. And we enjoy it. But imagine if you only ate on Sundays and Wednesdays. We'd all be a lot thinner, I think. You know what? Having this time with God is good, but you need some personal time with Him. You want to keep that light going, man. Get in your Bible and read it. Start at the beginning. Work to the end. You get what happens when I get to the end. Go back to the beginning and read it again. Because I guarantee you, you're going to find something that you went, "Whoa, I didn't see that there before." Amen. Amen. I think you can read this Bible 200 times and you'll still go, "Whoa, I didn't see that there before. I read it 200 times earlier, but it's sticking out for some reason today." You get to know God better in that book when you read it on your own. Oh man, I'm starting to know Him a little bit more. One of the things I started doing is just reading more than what I had been. I said, all right, I'm going to try to get this much done. Man, that book changed again. It's different when you consume more scripture at one in a sitting than when you read just a little bit. I'm like, man, book's coming alive even more. It's amazing. You may not always fully understand what you read, but the Holy Spirit will give you something. And maybe when you keep reading it, you'll go back to that and go, oh, I get it now. I've had that where I'm like, I don't really understand what this is talking about. Okay, keep going. Keep reading. Eventually, you'll get that at some point. God will give it to you when you need it. Holy Spirit, He'll give you what you need. How else can we fellowship with Him? Hey, just take some time in prayer. I've heard of it this way. There's five things we should pray for generally. Obviously, in those five areas, you can break it down even more. All right? But we should praise Him first. Just tell God how good He is. Sometimes I think we got to make a conscious effort with that. It's easy to just, all right, God, I'm going to come in. I've got my list of things I'm going to pray for. But we forget to say, hey, Lord, thanks for being a good God to me. Thanks for taking care of me. Then we can thank Him. That's a little bit different. Praising Him is just saying how amazing He is just for who He is. But thanking Him is for what He's done for us. Maybe what He's done for others because we've been praying for it. Then we can pray for others. Pray for the sick. Pray for the missionaries. Pray for each other. Say, Lord, hey, just be with the people in our church. How about the lost? Pray for the lost. They need prayer. They need to get the gospel. And then I've always heard it, you know, this going this way, and then pray for yourself. Say, you use your fingers kind of like, oh, the pinky finger, that's the smallest, that should be us. Save us for last. Just pray for your needs, your desires, help. And then how else can we spend time with God? Just randomly throughout the day, just talk to God. You know, it's good to get alone and have that Bible reading and prayer every day, but does it have to stay there? When you're done, 45 minutes is done. I read my Bible. I prayed. Okay. See you back here this time tomorrow, God. Do they have to quit right there? Oh, you can talk to them throughout the day. Man, sometimes sitting in traffic, you ain't going nowhere, you know, or if you are, it's going real slow. Start talking to God. Have a good time with Him. Sometimes I'm doing laps up and down the field, mowing the lawn. You know, it's a good 2.5 hours just doing that at the school. You know, I'll listen to audiobooks or whatnot, but sometimes just turn it off. Hey, God, how's it going? Thanks for being good to me. Thanks for the good day we got today. Start talking to them. I've had times I've asked them, like, Lord, you coming today? I see some clouds. You know, today would be a good day for you to come back. I'm sure he wouldn't mind hearing us. Teenagers, you ever get bored? Yep, they get bored. I'm bored. Well, go pray and talk with God. Get along with him. Spend some time with him. Why not? You know, if you're so bored, you got nothing else better to do. Hey, go talk to God. Maybe he'll give you an idea of something to do. No, I don't want to do that. Spend some time with him. And thirdly, spend some time with fellow believers. I really think your best friends should be Christians. If your best friends are the lost people, I'm not saying they got to be members of this church, but they should be Christians. And I hope you got friends in this church, but your best friends should be Christians. If they're lost people, you might want to check something out, because your spirit and their spirit aren't supposed to mesh, because they don't have the Spirit of God, and you do. Go to Proverbs 27. You say, how is this going to help my light shine better? Well, Proverbs 27 tells us something that I think we can help each other out. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You know, I think we can strengthen each other. I mean, God helps us, yes. But I think we as Christians can be a help to each other and strengthen each other spiritually. Man, well, you're out there going and enjoying stuff, doing stuff together, spending time together. Hey, there's nothing wrong going to a ball game and all of a sudden getting into a conversation about spiritual things. Man, sharpen each other. A lot of the stuff I know today, a lot of things that I've learned, you know, I got it from just talking with people, talking to friends, talking to other Christians. How to do things in the ministry, how to live my life, how to raise my kids. I got it from spending time with other Christians and talking with them and observing them and going, man, they're doing something right over there. I'm gonna model that. Man, they're doing something right there. I'm gonna model that. Sharpens us. Makes us a better Christian. Get our light shining just a little bit brighter. How about you tonight? Are you like Moses? People see you. Is there something different about you? I hope so. You're a child of God. Should be. We should be different. The world should see something different in us. Maybe not an actual physical glow like Moses had. I don't think we're going to have that. But man, there should just be something different about you. Yes, we should witness verbally and give the gospel to people, but just living a godly life should speak volumes to this world. You know what? There, so many more and more are even getting away from that. So, man, just one person living a godly life should something way different about that person. How are you on that? Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. I'm going to have Mrs. Noble come. She's going to play a little invitation. We're going to pray and just, God's spoken to you. You need to use the altar. We won't wait here long, but give you a chance to talk with God if need be. Lord, help us, God. We thank you that we get saved. Man, there's so many things you do for us, and so many changes you make, and the fact that the Holy Spirit dwells within us to help us live a Christian life, that it's amazing, God. Lord, help us to let our light shine and that we don't let it get dim. Help us to keep it bright. That we do so for you so that we can bring you honor and glory and we can point other people to you.